Hey, for those of you that aren't necessarily interested in broomball, because you're like, that's dangerous and I don't want to die, I'm too young to die, we are going to be splitting the rink in half, and you can ice skate on the other half. So we're going to have ice skating and broomball, two things, great way to kick off fall. I'm going to move this, is that okay? Yep, okay, sweet. They didn't say anything, I'm just going to do it anyways. I can't really move it. That's a better spot. Hey, today we are continuing in our series through the book of Philippians, taking a look at this letter that a guy named Paul wrote to a church in a town called Philippi. Last weekend, my wife and I were out. We took a weekend off. It was amazing. But Tom Philpott was in here and was teaching out of Philippians 1. We took a look at what it means to walk worthy of the gospel, something that when you hear it sounds so, so difficult. But then he took the time to explain what that means, walking worthy. That's really what this book of Philippians is all about. It's consistently Paul telling us the way that we're to live as Christians, what that looks like. It's instruction for us. It's encouragement for us. It's about unity and what a Christian church, what Christian people should live like. And today is no different. We're going to see that in Philippians chapter 2 as he continues to give us instruction on this. But before we dive into Scripture, today, there's something in this world that we got to talk about, right? So I think a lot of you have constantly heard this thing, like you need to shine like a star, right? Like you need to shine, like be bright, stick out, shine like a star, be a star. A lot of you want to be that. I want to be a star. Someday, I want to shine like that. We're constantly being told to shine. It's in our music. Shine bright like a diamond. Baby, you're a firework. Come on, let your colors burst. I don't know what that means. I don't listen to her. Okay, maybe I do every once in a while. But shine bright, like it's all around us. We're constantly being told to shine, to stick out. Something in us wants to be noticed. Something in us wants to shine bright. It's natural. So naturally, when I was a little kid, 7 years old, I was like this tall. Actually, I was probably the same height. I know it's a bummer, but it's whatever. When I was 7 years old, I wanted to be a star. I wanted to be a star. I looked and I'm like, man, if I can get on that stage, if I can have the light shining on me, this is going to be the best thing ever. I want to be a star. Everybody that's cool is doing it. I want to be a star. That's who I look up to. That's what I do. So, as a seven-year-old kid, I did this the best way I knew how. I would get up early in the morning before my parents, thinking, okay, today's the day. I'm going to be a star. And who do we commonly think of when we think of stars? Who has the biggest stages and the brightest lights? Like singers, right? Like artists, concerts. Like, yes, that's what being a star is all about. So I'm like, I can do this. I can do this star thing. So I get up early in the morning, and then I find the nearest construction paper, because remember, I'm 7 years old, so that's what I'm working with. I find the nearest construction paper, and I would make these little tickets, these amazing little tickets, VIP. You know what I'm talking about, to my concert. Right? I'm like, okay. So I make these tickets, and then I'd steal an envelope from my parents, and I put them in that envelope, and then I'd slide them under my parents' door. And they're still asleep, right? So, I mean, they're waking up to something good, right? They're getting VIP tickets to the Shane Sanchez show. Like, this is good. So I make some little tickets, I slide them under their door. Today, I'm gonna be a star. Mom, Dad, you're not gonna wanna miss this. So they'd have the tickets. Then what does every star need? What does every great singer need? They need their own microphone, right? They need their own microphone. So I had one. I had my own mic. It was green, had an orange top. It was about that big around, you know, and it had that big plastic top on it. And when you talked into it, it went like this, because it was like made of plastic and had a little spring on the bottom. You know what I'm talking about? Those giant microphones that little kids use. I don't know why anybody makes those. They actually make your voice quieter. Doesn't really make much sense. But I had my mic. I'm the man. I got this. Got my mic. My parents got the VIP seats. This show is going to be off the hook. oh, but I needed a stage. I needed my stage. If I'm going to be a star, I got to have a stage to shine on, right? So my mom, she had these floor pillows, which, why you put a pillow on the floor, I don't know. We never talked about it. But she had these floor pillows. They were about this big, that thick. She had two of them. My parents had two of them. So I took them. I said, one here, and I had my stage. You can move on these things. You can dance. You can sing. You can even go to the edge and, like, be a real star and get close to the people. You know what I'm talking about? I had my stage. This was looking good. I got tickets. I got a mic. I got my stage. I am feeling this. Today I'm going to be a star. I needed a sound system. Okay, oh, whew. Lucky for me, I had one. I had a sound system. See, my dad had this audio system in our house. It was hooked up to our TV, and it was awesome. It was made by a company that's probably out of business today because this was the early 90s. But and then I had these things. They're round. They're about this big. They're called CDs. I don't know if you've heard of those. They're called CDs. I would take a CD, I'd pop it in there, and I had my tracks. So now, I got my tickets, I got my mic, I got my stage, I got my tracks. It is time for the show, ladies and gentlemen. Then mom and dad would get up, they'd see the VIP passes, they'd probably scream and freak out, because come on, I mean, it's a show, I'm a star. It's time for the concert! Let's do this thing. Today, mom and dad, you're going to be the first fans, but this whole world's going to know about Shane Sanchez. Look out, and it all starts right here in your living room. This is how I do it. This is how I do it. I was going to be a star. I was going to be a star. And of course, the most important piece of all of this is that you have to have somebody to look up to when you're a star, right? Like each of you, you have like a famous person or a star or a musician or something. You're like, if I could just be them for a day, then everything would be right with the world. Taylor Swift, I don't know. Justin Bieber, please don't be like him. Come on, clean up your life. Clean up your life. Clean up your life. One Direction, they were just here. Come on. If I could just be in a boy band. Like I'm telling you, if I could just, oh, this is what it's about. So I had mine. I mean, you all have yours. They're a little different today. I had mine. His name was Carmen. His name was Carmen. I mean, I want you to see how cool this guy is, right? Just look. I mean, I'm 7 years old. It's 1997. There's nothing better than this. If I could be him for a day, this whole world is going to know about me. I mean, look at the hair. I can't do that. I wish I could. That's my mom and dad's fault, I guess. The chest hair. I definitely couldn't do the chest hair. That's not happening. The shirt, I don't know. But I'm like, look at this guy. This is who I want to be. I had my picture of a star. So naturally, I popped his CD into the CD player, and I performed all of his songs for my parents. I'm like, I'm going to be like Carmen. I can do this. You're staring at this picture. First thing, don't judge me, because I know you're all judging me right now. Knock it off. Knock it off. All right? It's a different time. It's a different time. The second thing you need to do in response to this picture is thank the Lord Almighty that you were born after me and you didn't have to go through this kind of stuff. That's the second thing you need to do. Understand, it was tough. The 90s were a weird, weird time to be a Christian. I'm telling you that. Third, I thought if I could get everybody to pay attention to me, if I could get everybody to look at me, if I could have all the lights shining on me, then I would be a star. Then people would know about Jesus. That was my way. If I could get a stage, and I'm not knocking Carmen. I'm sure some people came to know Jesus through the kind of stuff he did. He put on big concerts like One Direction. He blew One Direction out of the water, let me tell you. Oh, he did. He did, I'm telling you. This guy was fly. I know it's hard to believe. Stop it. But I thought, man, if I could just have the stage, if everybody knew who I was, if I was a star, then I could tell people about Jesus. Then people could see Jesus in me. And I'm not saying there's anything that's necessarily wrong with fame. I want you to hear that. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that as we read Philippians, we see a totally different example of what shining like a star is supposed to be about. Open your Bibles, Philippians chapter 2. If you don't have a Bible today, we have some leaders that are passing out Bibles. Please raise your hand. We want you to have one. There's no shame in this. We want you to have one. If you don't have a Bible at home, keep that one. We want you to have the Word with you so you can read through. Philippians chapter 2 is towards the back of your Bible. If you hit Revelation, you went too far. That's the end. If you fit the table of weights and measures, that's also too far. Go to the left a little bit. Philippians chapter 2 is where we're going to be hanging out today. See, today we're going to look at Jesus' example of how to shine like a star. Today, here's what we're going to see as we read this. We're going to see that shining bright is a lot different than what we commonly think. Shining bright isn't so much about all the light being on us, all the attention being on us, all the fame being about us. Shining bright, what if shining bright was more about the light that we put on other people? I want you to think about that as we read through Philippians chapter 2 today. Philippians chapter 2, let's dive right in. Starting right up at the top in verse 1, it says this. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit, and of one mind. So right off the top, Paul goes, first things first, you got to hear this. You need to be united. If you get anything out of your relationship with Christ, Christians, hear this. If you get anything out of your relationship with Christ, you need to be united with one another, and you need to be loving God. That is the most important thing. We've heard this same thing over the past few weeks. That's a big thing in this book of Philippians, is us being united. We truly are a family. You've got to understand that, JHM. You've got to get that. We truly are a family. Every single person in this room, we are in this together. It doesn't end here. It's not just here in JHM in the Student Center. It's over in the big building. It's mission as a whole. It's churches all across the country. It's churches all across the globe. Those that are Christians, those that have placed faith in Christ, we are a family. We are in this together. And right up top in Philippians chapter 2, Paul reminds us that this is very important for us to remember in everything we do. Let's keep reading. Let's keep reading and see exactly what he's talking about. Talk about shining like stars. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 says this. Catch this. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of, say it with me, the what? The others. The others. Not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of others. Whoa. Whoa. But Paul just turned our world upside down. You're telling me, Paul, you're telling me that I'm not supposed to look to my own interests first. You're telling me, Paul, that I'm supposed to value the interest of other people before my own? So Paul, let me get this straight. Let me get this straight. You're telling me that I'm not supposed to be worried about having more money than everybody else. Is that what you're telling me, Paul? Paul, you're telling me that I'm not supposed to be worried about whether or not I'm the first person in line for the new iPhone, right? Is that what you're telling me, Paul? Paul, you're telling me that I'm not supposed to be concerned about whether or not I get the same seat in church every week or if somebody new is sitting in it. Paul, is that what you're telling me? How hard is this in today's society, in 2014? Think about this for a second. We're to put the interest of others before our own? Everything around us tells us the exact opposite. Look at some of the products you have in your pockets or wherever. iPod, iTouch, iPhone, iMac, iPad, I. It's about me. It's mine. It's me. Love yourself. Bro, just love yourself. Love yourself, and that takes care of everything. You need to look out for you. You're number one. Remember that. Remember that. Look out for yourself. You're number one. You got to have your own back. Put yourself first. That's so important. We hear this consistently. We are told to think about three people in today's society: me, myself, and I. Everything. Just take care of yourself. Just take care of yourself. It's important. Just put yourself first. Take care of yourself. And Paul completely flips this whole concept upside down and tells us, in fact, that we're supposed to put others first. So this is hard. I think we can all agree to that. I don't naturally do this. I would guess that a lot of you don't naturally do this. But what's beautiful about the instruction that we get in Scripture, this is instruction from God. And what's beautiful about it is that God doesn't ask us to do something that He hasn't already done. Let's keep reading. Verse 5. Paul just flipped our worldview upside down and says we're supposed to put the interest of others before our own. And then verse 5 says this: in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Okay, so here comes our example. Paul's like, look, this is the way you're supposed to live, and let me show you how Jesus did it. Here comes the example. Verse 6 says this: who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Okay, so what's the first thing that Jesus did? If we're supposed to put the interest of others before our own, where did Jesus start in living this out and walking this out? First, his attitude was in the right place. His attitude was in the right place. He wasn't arrogant. Instead, what he did, he put aside all the privilege that he had and became a human. I want you to grasp this. Understand this. God, the one who made everything, the mountains that you will see when you leave this building, the sky, the stars, this earth, each and every one of you, said, I gotta go down there. This perfect God said, you know what? I am going to go and become like those I've created. He came and became a human. I would never do that if I was God. And thankfully, I'm not. This huge God that made it all said, you know what? I'm going to go be like one of them. I'm going to go through what they go through. He smelled bad when he was in junior high. Sorry, boys. He had pimples. Let's be honest. He struggled with it. It was tough. He fell. He scraped. He bruised. He felt pain. He felt emotion. He, the perfect God, who's much bigger than we could ever imagine, decided, you know what? I'm going to go be like one of them. I am going to be human. He put our interest before his own. He humbled himself. And like it tells us in verse 7, he became nothing. He became nothing. And I know that sounds harsh, but do you understand when a big God comes and becomes like you and I, that's pretty much becoming nothing. But he did it for an amazing reason. Let's keep reading. Verse 8 says this about Jesus, talking about Jesus. And being found in appearance as a man, when he became human, he humbled himself. He goes even further. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. So wait a second. You're telling me that Jesus, that God came as a human just so he could die? What? This doesn't make sense. Well, neither does Paul's instruction about us putting the interests of others before our own. He took this concept of humility a step further and died. And I want you to understand why he did this. Because you and I deserved death. Because of our sin, we deserved death. And I'm not just talking about the physical death we'll all go through. I'm talking about eternal death, separation from God forever. And God looked at this whole thing and said, you know what? I'm going to fix this. I'm going to go and be like them. So first off, he humbled himself and said, I'm going to go be a human. And then he didn't stop there. He said, you know what? I'm going to continue to be humble. I'm going to continue to put the needs and the interests of other people before my own. And I'm going to die for them. I'm going to take the death that they deserve. He humbled himself. And he gave us life because he chose to die. There is no better example of someone putting the interest of others before their own than what Jesus has done for us. And this is the type of life that we're instructed to live. This is the way that we're supposed to think. So what does all this mean for us? Let's keep reading. Verse 12 says this, therefore, because of everything we just talked about, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is, catch this, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. So now that we've seen Jesus' example, we're supposed to continue to strive forward in living like him. We talked about it last week. Tom talked about it last week. Walking worthy of the gospel, striving together to obey what God wants for us. This is so important. I mean, you have to understand that God's gift to salvation, the freedom that we get from Jesus, is not something that we can earn. We can never work hard enough to get that. He did it when he died on the cross. That's already taken care of. But for those of us who have received that free gift, we continue to work hard to obey what God commands. We continue to love God and work hard to do what he wants us to do, to live how he wants us to live. It is a striving. It does take work. It's hard being a Christian sometimes, but we're instructed to do it. And what's amazing about this is that we don't have to do it alone. What does verse 13 say? For it is God who works in you to will and to act, to obey in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do you understand what this is saying? We look at this concept of putting the needs of others before our own, and we go, that's impossible. I could never do that. I could never live that way. Okay, you don't have to. Verse 13 tells us that Jesus, God, the one who gave us the perfect example of humility, is now the one that lives in us and works all of this through us. He's doing the work inside of us. The perfect example of humility now is living in us and is driving us and pushing us to be more like him. He doesn't just drop this bomb and go, hey, figure this out. Be humble. Put the needs of others before your own. No. He continues to work in us and to work through us to fulfill his good purposes, to live the way that he instructs us to live. Let's keep going. Verse 14. Your mom and dads have probably read this to you before. Verse 14, do everything without grumbling or arguing. I love this. Last night too, everybody's smiling. I've heard this one before.
Mom tells me this all the time.
Do everything without grumbling or arguing. So let's stop for a second. When we continue to follow Jesus' example, this whole series of Philippians, we're talking about that, living as he wants us to live. When we continue to follow Jesus' example, we should do it genuinely. We should do it genuinely, out of a heart that genuinely loves obeying God. Like think about this. It says, do everything without. Like we're not supposed to in anything grumble or argue, no matter what we're doing. But let's just take this example of humility that we're talking about today. Nobody likes somebody who's falsely humble. Nobody likes that, right? Man, you really hit that ball pretty far. That was sweet. You got a great swing. Well, you know, it's no big deal. I don't know. I was just born like this. It's okay. I mean, no, it's not a big deal. It's not. No, stop. No, really, no. It's okay. Like, nobody likes false humility. Girls, you walk in. One of your friends looks at you. Oh, you look so pretty today. Oh, well, you know, it's no big deal. I'm not even wearing makeup. You know, it's not. I'm not. This old thing. No. I woke up late today. I just had to rush in. I'm sorry. I couldn't. Nobody likes false humility, right? Nobody likes somebody who's falsely humble, who's not doing this out of a genuine heart. Nobody likes a complaining servant either. If we're being called to serve others, nobody likes a complaining servant. Just ask your moms and dads. Or ask my wife, because I complain about every chore I have to do. nobody likes it. We're not supposed to live that way. Scripture tells us in this beautiful passage that we're supposed to do everything with a genuine heart, that we're supposed to do everything. When we are truly seeking to live humbly, truly seeking to follow Jesus' example and put the interest of others before our own, we shouldn't hate doing that. We should genuinely enjoy the fact that we are allowed to follow Christ's example and put the needs of others before our own. Remember this in everything you do. It's so important. Let's keep going. Verse 15. Verse 14 says, do everything without grumbling or arguing. Verse 15, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then, here it comes. This all starts to make sense, everything we're talking about. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. Okay. This whole concept of humility that we're talking about today, this is what makes us different. This idea of putting the interest of others before our own, Scripture tells us that this is what makes us shine like stars. This is what makes us true stars. I'm going to have the leaders pass something out to you right now. And I need two things from you. One, I need you to continue to focus up here. And two, when you get this, it'll make sense when you get it. When you get this, I don't want you to break it yet. I want you just to hang on to it. But I need you to continue to stay focused up here. See, Scripture shows us that in the middle of a dark world, can we all agree to something really quick? Can we all agree that we are in a crooked and warped generation? Like, we are in a messed up world. You don't have to look far to understand that. You could turn on the news at night. You could sit there with mom and dad and watch the news, and you could see evil. You could see arrogance. You can see hate. You could see violence. You can see all of these things that show us that we are a crooked and messed up generation. It's pretty easy to see that. It's all around us. I know you want to so bad, but I promise you'll get to it in a second. Please stay focused. We got to talk about this. This world around us is messed up. This world around us hurts. This world around us constantly is telling us to not do what Scripture tells us to do. It's constantly telling us that we are supposed to be number one, that we're supposed to look to our own interest, that you and I are more important than anybody else, and that's all that matters. But then we're given an example of the way Jesus lived that was completely opposite to this. And we're told that this is how we shine like stars. So I want you to grasp this. Logan, if you could hit those. I want you to grasp this. Wait, don't break yours. I want you to get this. We're told that if we live that way, this is how we shine like stars. So in this completely dark room, you can see mine, right? It sticks out. It sticks out. It gives off a little bit of light. Maybe you can kind of see my face. It sticks out in this dark room. And it's good. It's good. I'm shining a little bit. But now I want you to break yours. I want you to break yours. All right. Now here's what I want you to do. I want you to quietly, silently, I want you to look around this room. I want you to look around this room. Do you understand how much more light we give off together? Like when I was up here and all you could see was mine, like, yeah, that's great, it gives off a little bit of light. But when we have this whole room, when we are united, when we're in this family, and we're all shining bright like Jesus teaches us to shine, look how much more light we give off. Logan, if you could bring up some light on the stage, please. All right, you guys can put them down. Put them down. Thank you. I know. They're fun. Now you got a shiny thing. It's crazy. But here's the point. Refocus. Back up here. Here's the point of this that I want you to grasp. When I had mine, there was a little bit of light given off. You could see it here. But when we're all shining bright, when we're all shining like stars in the sky, when we're all following this example that Jesus gives us of putting the interests and the needs of other people before our own, do you see how much more light we give off? Do you see how much brighter this thing is? When we begin to live this way, we shine bright. We begin to spread God's love to the dark places. When we put the interests of others before our own, we begin to follow Jesus' example and impact this world. Do you understand? Do you understand what we're capable of as a group by the power of God? I can stand up here and shine bright by myself. But look at the difference if we all chose to do this in our day-to-day lives. So as we close, let's live this out. Let's shine bright by putting the interest of others before our own. In your home, shine bright. In your school, shine bright. With your friends, shine bright. By putting their needs before yours, because that's the example that Jesus gives us. I told you at the beginning, I had it all twisted. I thought being a star was all about the light shining on me. But I want you to understand, as we read through Philippians 2, we see that the truth about being a star in God's eyes is not about how much light that we can get to shine on ourselves. It's about how much light we're shining on other people. So shine bright in this world. Shine like a star by putting the interests and the needs of others before your own. Let's pray. God, thank you for shiny things. Lord, it's fun to do this kind of stuff, but God, I'm truly thankful that you give us examples that you help us to understand what you mean in this important word in Philippians. God, I think today a lot of us can have it twisted as far as what we think about becoming a star. That the world around us tells us that it's all about getting the lights to shine on us. That no matter what it takes, no matter how many people we hurt on the way, if we can get to number one, that's all that matters. And then you come and you give us this example that the truth about shining like a star is that you're putting the needs and the interests of other people before your own. And God, I pray that as JHM, as a junior high ministry, we would shine like stars in this world. God, that we would be a group of people that truly cares and place the interest of others before our own, that we follow your example of humility, God, that we humbly serve other people as you did when you died for us and gave us life. God, we're a family. We're united. We're in this together. And when we all shine, when we all place the interests and the needs of other people's before our own, we give off a lot more light. We impact a lot more people for your cause and for your purpose and with your love. Lord, help us to shine as you shined among us. We love you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.